Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
We don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Judging the dead. This is Wretched Radio. Ravi Zacharias has caused a lot of internet chatter. And as seems to always be the case, there's at least two, all right, at least 200 sides to the story. But perhaps one of the big lines of the story of the death of Ravi Zacharias is, should we even be talking about him? After all, he's dead. Let it be. Should we be talking about Ravi or any other individual who professes to be a Christian post-mortem? And I think the answer to that question, of course, is definitively, it depends. If you're talking about him like TMZ or Entertainment Tonight, that is not appropriate, but just because the man was involved in a very high-profile ministry, it doesn't mean that he can't be rightly discussed. We must have the right attitude, strive for the correct tone, but just because somebody is dead, it does not let them off the hook from any sort of public scrutiny. A public figure steps into the arena, and while he may sometimes receive applause, there are other times there are going to be jeers. The individual accepts that, knows that, and is willing to endure that. And so it is, as we study what happened to Ravi Zacharias, we would like to wisely consider what lessons can be learned. We don't want to turn this into some sort of cable news debate about the man. We don't want to be unnecessarily cruel. And yet I would like to make the case that we're not compelled to do this. It's not mandatory. But to the many, many people who would say, hey, it's not fair, I would like to build the case that it is entirely fair. One, consider his victims. There are indeed women, many women, and we only know about a handful of them, who were sexually abused by Ravi Zacharias, which leads me to point number two. We're not talking about a guy who took a lollipop from a child on an airplane. We're talking about somebody who did very wicked things. I know you perhaps didn't read the report. We're talking about rape here. An individual who claims to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ raped women. This isn't just a kind of innuendo. There was a study done by a firm that does this, and they did not do much more than study the tip of the iceberg. They admitted it. We did not go far into this, but we think we've already got enough to reveal Ravi was a wicked man. I know that maybe hurts to hear if you followed him and loved him, but Christians, number three, who do not have a willingness to be as honest as the world is in assessing him, I think it makes us look foolish. The world would read that report that was released by his ministry and they would go, that dude was wicked. And if we say, hey, let's just let the dead be, it makes us look a little bit naive, or perhaps it makes us look like we're involved in a cover-up. We're not willing to confront things honestly. Fourth, we're the truth tellers. We're the people who should be honest about things and willing to discuss things. And we wouldn't do it with Ravi, and we wouldn't even do it with an unbeliever. We wouldn't talk about them like neater, neater, they're dead, yippy skippy, and let's just trot out the trash. Nobody has a desire to do that. But to the many people who are saying, just don't do it. Just let's move on from the subject. I think for the aforementioned reasons, that's just the wrong response. Do you need to talk about this at dinner tonight? No. But as part of the public discourse that happens in our country, because this man was a public figure, to not be willing to talk about it because it's downright disgusting is not an excuse. We posted a video on this subject a couple of days ago because we wanted to offer our perspective on it, believing that perhaps, maybe, possibly, we could offer something somewhat unique. We did not dive into the salacious details of the life of Ravi Zacharias, but we wanted to study smoke of a different sort. Not that anybody would see Ravi Zacharias, when he does his lectures, he doesn't wear a tie, it's an open collar. He's raping women. That's ridiculous. But what we did see was smoke from a different fire, and it was all theological, that there was compromise going on all the way back to at least 2004. His willingness to give a pass to Mormonism, Roman Catholicism, transgenderism. And these are things that we must learn from going forward if you are following a ministry that is not robust in its defense of the gospel. I would encourage you to reconsider your affiliation and your support, prayer, financial, whatever it is. If this is a ministry that is not willing to stand on the truth, and by the way, you are going to see more and more ministries that are not willing to do that as there is more and more pressure for evangelicals to buckle or go to jail, as we are just starting to see a little bit. If a ministry will not stand on the solas of the Reformation, the orthodox fundamentals, they are not worthy of our adoration. Let alone sharing of videos, promoting, sending them money. And by the way, that goes for this ministry too. whatever standard we appear to be defining, if we don't meet it, you should run and you should reject us. This is not, he's dead and we're alive, so we're going to trash talk him. And isn't it easy for us? No. Any ministry, including ours, that does not robustly proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ, it just isn't worthy of your support. I'm not saying that the people who are running that ministry or the spokespeople are molesting women in massage parlors. Not saying that. But I'm saying they're not worthy of our attention. Find somebody solid. Find somebody better. And as we hopefully wrap up, because our attention spans are just as short as the world's, the conversation on Ravi Zacharias, let us not have conversations that are neater, neater, that are intended to be hurtful to the family, that are not intended to be salacious or just done for ratings or views or clicks. But let's not be in the other ditch and not willing to discuss it. Jimmy, you were the man assigned to go through our Facebook page after the video was posted. There were about 500 comments there. And there were, you would say, more than a few folks who just thought this is not a conversation that we should be having.
Absolutely. There were many commenters that didn't understand why we took it upon ourselves to speak about it when obviously you haven't spoken about it up until this point.
Right.
Why are we speaking about it now? He's dead.
Right. And you know what? There's sometimes that you would just let it go. And there's a lot of people who have died doing similar things that we don't talk about. And I'm not telling you that our model and our standards are perfect. Well, even if they are, I'm not saying that we follow them correctly. Ravi Zacharias was perhaps one of the most high-profile evangelicals in the world. The Vice President of the United States attended his funeral. He's a big deal. Who are we to judge? Well, we're Christians, and we're called to judge. With righteous judgment, Jesus said in John chapter 7, not with a snooty-tooty attitude, not with an air of superiority, and not in a salacious way or a promotional way, but we are to judge. And to the people who said we're all sinners, of course we are, but if we could never practice any sort of discernment because we're sinners, then we'd never practice any sort of discernment. Of course we are. And we shouldn't do it with a log in our eye. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone, said some people commenting. You're right. If we're doing it because we just want to be cruel or we think that we are above any such temptation, you're absolutely right. But when a high-profile professing believer makes such a public, scandalous end to his ministry life and to his own life, if there are lessons that can be learned, then we're foolish to miss them. And so it is, we will endeavor to do just that. Appropriately learn lessons from Ravi. Next on Wretched Radio.
Are you stressed out? Over half of Americans are, and you can find out just exactly how your anxiety is a blessing. That's right, a blessing that God will use to grow you and change you in unimaginable ways. How do you find out? Well, you go through our brand new Wretched curriculums. That's how you find out. If you're tired of the same old boring Wretched Bible studies, then get yourself a Wretched Bible study. They're interesting, they're relevant, and of course, what you've come to know from Wretched, they're biblical. The brand new Bible study curriculum comes from our resources, Drive by Marriage, Drive by Parenting, Drive by Theology, Jesus Unmasked, and Stress Out. You can see exactly what I'm talking about right now by visiting wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study. And I'm Jimmy Hicks, and I'm grateful that you decided to stop by and visit us and listen to Wretched Radio today. And we appreciate your time. Thank you so much. And don't forget to get by wretched.org/study.
59 million people died last year from diseases like heart disease, cancer, diabetes, but the number one leading cause of death, its very own category of 42.6 million lives that ended, abortion. It is hands down the number one leading cause of death on the globe, and that statistic can overwhelm us and cause us to give up. But it should motivate us to get engaged, get involved, and fight for one life at a time. And we can do that through preborn.org/wretched. $28 buys an ultrasound. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. That is a good investment that saves lives. Would you please consider supporting as many ultrasounds as you can at preborn.org/wretched.
How do I live in a world that hates me? If you find yourself asking that question, you're not alone. America is changing right under our feet. What's up is down, and what's down is now up. How do we respond as Christians to a world that's increasingly hostile toward us? Well, thankfully, God has much to say on the subject, and it may actually shock you to hear. God doesn't want us to reclaim America. He doesn't want us to impose our will on society. So, what does God want? Well, you can find out by downloading and watching our resource, Persecution, which is available now for a limited time for free. This 13-part series will carefully walk you through the book of 1 Peter, God's marching orders for living in an upside-down world. Persecution sets forth a biblical response to what's likely the most urgent question for Christians today. How do we live in a world that hates us? Download your copy of Persecution free right now by visiting wretched.org/persecution. That's wretched.org/persecution.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called our ransom. Through our sin, we are in bondage to sin and death. But Christ paid the fine to satisfy God's justice and purchase us as his holy people. If you are in Christ, you no longer belong to sin, but to God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Learning from a sinner without sinning. That is the challenge. This is Wretched Radio. Ravi Zacharias died and left a legacy of scandal. And we would be sinful if we did this gleefully by studying lessons that we can learn. Let's be wise. Let's be godly. Let us not be naive. Let us not just put our head in the sand. Let us learn wisely lessons from the duplicitous life of Ravi Zacharias. Shouldn't be a fun subject for anyone. By the way, if you hear a podcast and they are talking about Ravi in kind of a triumphant or gleeful way, you better think twice about that podcast. That's at best staggeringly immature. Nobody should be triumphant because maybe Ravi wasn't their cup of tea. This is a grievous story. This is a tragic story. And so we want to approach this wisely. And we also want to approach it with some limitations. I don't know much about what goes on at the Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. I know, and I think this is fair game. I really do. I think this is fair game to be asking questions. Where was the board? I agree. What was going on there? Now, there are some stories that are leaking out already. I've actually read a couple of them. Am I going to share them? No, because they haven't been verified. And I don't want to be participating in gossip, or maybe it's a disgruntled employee. Time will reveal much of this. But how we talk about subjects, we need to remember, well, how much do I know about this situation? What do I know about the board before I make accusations against the board? Now, having said that, I do believe we can ask, where was the board? What was happening with that board? Why did people know at that ministry? Because that will be important with whether or not a ministry like that even continues to exist. I think those are very fair questions. At the moment, we don't know the answers, so we don't want to be accusatory. We don't want to be judging on a high horse, but we do want to be learning lessons. So let's see if we can, courtesy of you. You left these posts at our Facebook machine when we posted a video about our theological concerns that we had of Ravi Zacharias going back to 2004. You posted things like this. Let's make our way through. This is from David. I've listened to Ravi for years. I always wondered why there wasn't more scripture in his sermons. That is something that I think we can take away from this. Dave, I'm going to be more emboldened to point this out. And by the way, of myself too. And of anybody else, we're living in a culture that is warning us to never warn anybody about anybody. In other words, postmodernism has infected the church where we don't get to judge. You know, judge not. One of the evangelical church's most loved and abused Bible verses, wrote a book about it, if I recall, a number of years ago, that we do start to raise a theological eyebrow when sermons or presentations or apologetics preachings are not robustly biblical. And might I add, robustly Christological. Something's wrong. I'm not saying that it means that the guy is abusing women in a massage parlor. I'm saying that there is potential fire if you are seeing theological smoke. And so if you are listening to somebody, you love a preacher right now, and you're starting to go, you know, I'm not hearing a lot of Bible. I'm hearing a lot of stories. You know, that individual shared his conversion story, and I didn't actually hear the gospel, which, by the way, many of you pointed out in your posts. You noticed something that I noticed, that Ravi never gave a really good testimony. In fact, Kevin wrote this. I've heard literally hundreds of Rabbi messages and have heard his testimony shared numerous times in diverse forums. Yet every time he shared it, it was usually how he came to Christ on a bed of suicide, as he would often say, and a minister supposedly came to his hospital room and shared the passage of John 14:9, "Because I live, you will also live." I don't recall him ever expressing godly sorrow for his sin, the idea of repentance, and a clear presentation of the gospel as it related to his personal conversion. Now, here's what we've observed in evangelical Christianity. Most testimonies don't. You go to a Bible Belt campus, as we do regularly, and you talk to supposed born-again students, and they don't give good testimonies. But there's a reason for that. There's a good chance, not 100% chance, but a good chance that they aren't actually born again, that they really aren't saved, and you need to share with them the gospel for the first time. Rabbi Zacharias was an apologist for the Christian faith. His testimony should be rock solid. He should not get a pass. If you had heard the testimony of Rabbi Zacharias and you were an elder at a church interviewing him for church membership, I trust you would have said, that's a really nice story, Rabbi, but we're just not ready to admit you into membership. We need some time and we need to just be working with you a little bit more. And yet, we as a rule gave him a pass publicly as an apologist for the Christian faith. And I would like to encourage us to stop doing that we don't give passes. Now, please note, just because you hear a high profile preacher say something that you disagree with, that doesn't mean they're that you cancel them. What I'm saying is, if the individual cannot or does not articulate the gospel clearly, thoroughly, robustly, regularly, they're not worthy of your support. Don't accuse them of raping women in a massage parlor. Just be slow to follow and endorse, and not just give your money, but to give your heart to them. And might I, at the risk of getting shellacked for this, it's true of men, but perhaps especially true of women. I've noticed this especially true of women with female teachers. Your heart gets knitted together. And then anybody comes along and says, "Ooh, you know, that teacher you're following, and wow, that's like World War III. Just be careful before you knit your heart with one of these leaders if you're not hearing a robust defense of the gospel. Can we learn that together from this? And by the way, as I say it, knowing right now that I'm on the record, that goes for me too. If we stop preaching the gospel here, if we stop defending the faith, we find ourselves perpetually in some rabbit hole. We're just talking about whatever hobby horse thing that I get into. Stop listening. Seriously. Or better yet, find me, grab me by the ear and ask me, "What's going on? What's the problem, pal?" And if a ministry responds and goes, "You mind your own beeswax," now you got a big problem. Let's find our balance. Let's not disqualify everybody, but that doesn't mean we should never disqualify anybody. Back to our original Dave. I always wondered why there wasn't more scripture in his sermons. That said, I was proud of Rabbi's board of directors and his family, who came out very publicly, not immediately, but once the evidence was in defense of the victims. Now, what do we do with the board? I shared that because you may or may not agree with Dave's assessment of how the board handled this. I've heard already some dissenting voices. They would disagree with Dave. Let's give it time. I do believe that it is fair and right to hold the board accountable. I do believe that it is fair and right to ask the people who are leading the ministry. And by the way, it was a couple, at least, of his family members. How could this have happened? How did this get this far for so long? This goes back at least 7 or 8 years, at least. And again, the firm that did the investigation, they admitted in the report, which is at the RZIM Ministry website, that they did not study every aspect of his life. Just this much. And it was like, yeah, okay, it's clear. Not good. Where was the board? Why didn't this get handled? Should that board be allowed to go forward? Should you continue supporting that ministry if you do, if the same board is in place or the same leadership is in place? Forget whether or not the personality, the high-profile personality is there. I do believe that they should be held accountable if they desire to continue and if they continue to ask for your support. So, Dave, the jury is out on the board. The letter, I agree with you. The letter was written very well. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the subject is closed. The case is closed. So let's give it time. Let's not be anxious for it. But let's just see what is revealed, because it will be revealed and there will be people who will pursue it. And I would imagine that people who support Ravi, whether it's a little or a lot financially, they'll want to know and will probably hear. And then we can render a verdict. But maybe we just have to, ouch, this word hurts. Wait. More lessons from Ravi next on Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, earlier today, South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster signed into law the South Carolina Fetal Heartbeat and Protection from Abortion Act that bans abortions once an unborn baby's heartbeat is detectable just weeks after conception. With the signature, South Carolina becomes the 12th state to ban abortions when an unborn child's heart starts beating, as it joins Georgia, Missouri, Louisiana, Alabama, Ohio, Arkansas, Iowa, Kentucky, Mississippi, and North Dakota in doing so. Yesterday, the state House passed the pro-life measure in a 79-35 vote following its approval in the state Senate in late January. The House put its final vote on the bill earlier today and sent it to Governor McMaster, who signed it into law during a ceremony. One Democrat, State Representative Russell Ott, joined Republicans in approving the bill yesterday. Meanwhile, most other Democrat lawmakers walked out of the House floor in protest, according to the local news. In South Carolina, the Citizens for Life leaders praised lawmakers for prioritizing unborn babies and mothers in the new legislative session. The bill also provides additional support for mothers in need. According to the Center Square, the legislation requires that the state fund prenatal and postnatal care for mothers who live in South Carolina and do not have insurance. Several Christian bookstores saw increased overall sales in 2020 despite mandated shutdowns and social distancing due to COVID-19. The Christian Retail Association surveyed independent bookstores to determine how the COVID-19 pandemic affected their business and end-of-the-year profit margins last year. Of the 82 stores that participated in the survey, 70 were required to close, 10 stayed open, and 2 were required to close at 2 different time periods. Further, of the stores included in the survey, 22 saw an increase in sales in 2020. The comparison sales chart within the report between 2019 and 2020 looked grim. However, year-end results had many owners thankful and giving glory to God for their endurance and success. Store owners indicated that added services kept them going, such as curbside pickup, ship to home, live social media, and website sales. Many are continuing some of those added services throughout this year. And more Wretched Radio still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Revelation. Special revelation is God's act of making himself known through direct means. In history, God has spoken directly to people like Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and the prophets. 2,000 years ago, he revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Today, he reveals himself in his perfect word, the Bible. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Careful lessons from Ravi Zacharias, courtesy of you. This is Wretched Radio. Comments left on our Facebook machine in response to the video we posted are angry. And it was just an angle. It was not intended to be a holistic diatribe about all things Ravi. It was to simply focus on one consideration, not all of the considerations. And many people left responses, and I would like to make our way through some of them that I believe represent a lot of them so that we can wisely learn what can be learned. Not to gossip, not to be amused, not to feel better about ourselves because, well, we would never do that, but because a public individual had a very public scandal that is being talked about publicly that has been confirmed definitively. What can we learn? Milton wrote this. I hate the sin that Ravi was involved in, but I also hate the way other people talk about it. I don't know who you're talking about, Milton, but I agree with you. We have to be careful. We also, at the same time, while people are talking about it, and you're probably talking about it, need to be careful and mindful about how we speak about the subject. I think we also need to be careful how we listen about it. Because remember, you catch somebody who's talking about it for a minute during the day as you're bumping into them, maybe reading a tweet. You're not getting all of their emotional responses to it. Offer a little grace. You think they're too terse. Well, maybe they experienced the same thing that Ravi's victims experienced. And they are really scalded by this reminder. And they remember how wicked it was to be sexually abused by somebody. Let's remember, as we listen to people talk about these issues, I just don't know where they're coming from or what their experiences are. So I do agree with you, Milton. Let's be careful how we talk about people who make their way into the headlines. And let's also be careful about how we listen. I've seen fights about that. Hey, you talked about it like this. You should have talked about it like that. And then the next day, the person talks about it like that. And somebody goes, why didn't you talk about it like this? Some would say right now I should be more outraged. Some would say you're too intense. Let's give grace both ways, shall we? Kevin, David, no matter anyone's feelings toward Ravi at this point, he brought deep reproach to the gospel and should be forgotten. Yeah, I get that sentiment, David. He did bring deep reproach to the gospel. There is no argument about that. And please note, I am certain, even as I say that, somebody out of the tens and tens of people listening are going to go, hey, nobody is going to stop Jesus from building his church. That is also true. But that doesn't mean that an individual cannot besmirch the name of Jesus Christ with their behavior. And as we remember the legacy of Ravi Zacharias, it seems to me this is a little bit risky, but if I would follow the biblical precedent in historical narrative, in the Old Testament, if you read through, for instance, especially 2 Kings, it becomes a little bit of a listing of dates. This guy became king, then he died. And what does it always say about these kings? I could open it up right now. 2 Kings 12. Okay, I'm just going to give this a go. 2 Kings 12. I'm just going to guess that it's talking about a king, and it's going to tell us whether he was a good guy or a bad guy. All right, so here we go. 2 Kings chapter 12. In the 7th year of Jehu, Jehoash became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. By the way, notice that they named the names of the mothers. I don't know definitively why that is. I suspect, actually, Mrs. Friel came up with this, that they had to identify the mother because the king tended to have so many women in a harem, so they had to list the mom. Jehoash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. All right, there's an instance where this guy, who no doubt did some bad things, went, he was a good guy overall. Then, I suspect if I go down, probably find an Israel king as opposed to a king of Judah, it's going to say, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, following the sins of Jeroboam. Wow. Did he ever do anything good? No doubt he did. And yet the Bible was willing to say, but he was evil. Now, let's not perhaps necessarily be so literal that you have to say of somebody who died, they were good or they were evil. But I do believe that we have permission to try to correctly, wisely, biblically assess the legacy of Ravi Zacharias. Did his scandal overwhelm all of his good work? I think that's a question worth answering. And if, in our era of social media, is any indication, it appears it did. Paul wrote this. This reveals a true fact about the human condition. Anyone can fall into sin. That is a lesson we all must learn from Ravi. I know it. I know it. I am sure that Ravi never imagined he would be in this place, that he would have ended up owning massage parlors where he was molesting women. There's no way. And yet sin lies and it lies and it lies and it deceives and it's ravenous and it wants more and it's never satisfied. And frankly, all of us should take stock of this and just stop and go, do I have walls built up that are defending me, my soul, my reputation, my name? Am I killing sin? Am I mortifying it? What's the crack? I want to seal it up. Am I lacking accountability? I'm going to get some. Am I looking at things I shouldn't? I am not going to look there anymore. I'm going to cut that out. Your cell phone is your gateway to sin. Get rid of it. Well, I can't do that. No, you don't want to do that. Get rid of it. Well, I can't be without a computer. Well, then you better learn. Because Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Jesus was earnest about this. Cut off your hand. Now, he didn't mean it literally, but the hyperbole. Do you hear how potent sin is? You better cut off your hand, because otherwise you're going down with the sin ship. Have you taken an assessment to take heed lest you too shall fall? Paul writes, guard your hearts, take every thought captive, remember your enemy, die daily and renew your spirit and mind daily. Stay in the word daily, repent daily. Thank, praise, and bless God daily. A good word. Liz wrote, our leaders, we do them a disservice when we do not hold them accountable. Amen. Liz, amen. You're right. Then not only do we do ourselves a disservice, but we do them a disservice. Too much freedom opens doors for temptations. Leaders should want to be held accountable. Yea, should indeed. And that is why if you... Now, in fairness, now, I'm not trying to do a postmortem on all of this because I don't know all of the details. But when it was brought to light in 2017 from a woman in Canada that Ravi was being Ravi, how did the leadership of that ministry respond? It was basically she was thrown under a bus. And people did indeed critique the ministry for not being very thoughtful about it and willing to investigate it. There should be an openness and a willingness. Okay, accusation made. Let's resolve this and let's do it transparently. And if you don't see that happening, then just slowly walk away from that ministry. You don't have to call them heretics. You don't have to besmirch them or blog about them in nasty ways. But if a ministry or a ministry leader or a local pastor or somebody who's an elder isn't willing to be accountable, then there is trouble. I don't want to get carried away with this because we see too much of this in the discernment world. But let us not just blow away all smoke. Some of it isn't necessary that we track it down to see if there's a fire. But if somebody's not willing to be accountable, that's pretty smoky smoke. By the way, somebody in the responses on our Facebook page said, why didn't he travel with family? My understanding is he traveled with a male companion because that was supposed to be the accountability. But even as he did, he was doing nasty things in foreign places when he would travel internationally. You know, I don't know that traveling with a family member is a perfect way to deal with the temptation of the road. But I'll tell you from personal experience that having I wouldn't spend like even a nanosecond pondering this. But that's what I always did and do. Not much traveling lately, but I rarely go anywhere without family when there's travel involved. And I can't even imagine. I never thought about it, frankly. But hey, honey, Listen, why don't you just stay here in the room, and I'm going to be gone for a few hours, and I'm not going to tell you where I'm going. I don't think you can escape that sort of accountability. I think it's an excellent idea that if you're going to hit the road, sir, and you're in ministry, if you can't bring a family member, maybe you should just, I don't know, stay home? Lessons wisely learned from Rabbi Zacharias, next on Wretched Radio. Not to offend people who love math, I'm not one of them, but these are numbers that should not be boring. $500 is what the average family saves with MediShare every month, not per year, every month. Right now, before the end of February, you will also save $170 off of your enrollment fee. Here's another number, 400,000 members. Another number, 25 years, MediShare has been providing affordable biblical health sharing. Telehealth, huge network of doctors, and fellow believers who help one another to share their healthcare burdens and even gasp, pray for one another. Our final set of numbers, 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE, to learn more about MediShare.
Improving your marriage, becoming a better parent, diving deeper into the truths of Scripture, learning how to see Jesus in the Old Testament, and discovering your emotions from a biblical perspective. These are areas where we all want to grow. The problem is, most studies on these topics are usually boring and irrelevant. But all of that has now changed. Seriously, it has, with Wretched's brand new Bible study curriculums derived from our resources Drive by Marriage, Drive by Parenting, Drive by Theology, Jesus Unmasked, and Stressed Out. You'll be able to dive deeper and actually enjoy doing so, which almost seems like a paradox these days. Until now, that is. Wretched's new curriculums. They're a terrific deal and a great way to start 2021. These are perfect for youth groups, adult Bible studies, or your own personal study at home. Find all the Wretched curriculum in one convenient location by visiting wretched.org/study. It's that simple. Wretched.org/study.
Despite what all of the headlines say, there is some very good news happening around the globe. Jesus is still fulfilling his promise to build his church. Nothing is going to stop it. And right now in Eastern Europe, he is doing just that through the Tomorrow Clubs, kids clubs all throughout very poor Eastern European countries. And thanks to you, wretched person, more and more clubs are being sponsored, more and more kids are being saved, and more churches are being strengthened. Paul Marty from the Tomorrow Clubs.
Every time we visit a Tomorrow Club and talk to kids and leaders, we are blown away by the gospel's power to change lives. And the Wretched audience has been such a big part of making that possible.
Would you please consider sponsoring your very own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month, 30 little disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Obadiah is a prophecy against the nation of Edom, who were descendants of Jacob's brother, Esau. Obadiah's message is clear. God will punish those who persecute his people. When you face troubles of any kind, turn to the Lord. Renew your faith in him, for he cares for his people. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Bummer, we have to learn this way. This is Wretched Radio. Rabbi Zacharias, it was revealed, was living a duplicitous life for years. What can we learn from this man? I think the answer is, if we are wise, biblical, loving, a lot. There's much we can learn going forward. Ministry leaders are not going to stop falling. But perhaps if we're smart and balanced, we can start to better identify when there are problems. Not of the Rabbi Zacharias sort necessarily, but there are other things that disqualify an individual from ministry leadership. Theology is a big deal. And when somebody is off theologically in specific ways, We just need to stop following these guys. That's all there is to it. Just stop. And I smell something. It's just, this is never quite right. All right, I'm thinking of a ministry right now, and I'm not going to share it only because I want to do some more studying on it. You maybe have watched some of their stuff on the YouTube machine, and there's something off. There's just something off. Theologically, it's just a way of presenting things that's like, but I don't commend them. Could some of their stuff be useful? Yes. But until I know what's really going on behind the scenes, what's the motivation behind phrasing biblical truths in such a clever new way? It doesn't sound quite, I don't know, orthodox. Am I calling them heretics? No. But am I going to commend them? No. Follow them? No. Watch their videos? No. Give them money? Certainly not. I think we just need to raise our standards a bit. And when it's about theological issues, that should be leading. Look, the scandalous stuff, that's so obvious. Lately, we've had other guys falling. Now, I couldn't have predicted they were doing that, but frankly, it doesn't matter. They should have been disqualified from ministry because of their theology. Not because we suddenly discovered their lifestyles were lousy. It doesn't surprise us when that happens, but when their theology is off, that is when we start going, I'm going to be a Berean here. I'm going to be a discerner here. And I'm going to make sure that I am not somehow forwarding their ministry in any way, shape, or form until it is definitive that they are square and solid and sound. So I can't tell you what somebody is doing in a massage parlor. I don't know what's going on in a teacher's private life. That's going to be pretty hard for any of us to really ascertain. But we can know what they say. We can listen to what they preach. And if it's off, not just, oh, I didn't appreciate that comment. Oh, that's not how I see it. But if it's off on the basics. Now, let me give you a for instance here. Right now, and increasingly, churches, I'm thinking of the church in Edmonton. Right now, the pastor is in jail. He's in jail right now. Wow. Arrested because his church continued to meet despite the Edmonton COVID shutdown on churches. They weren't following whatever the letter of the law was, and they were told to stop. They didn't. They were going to do church, and they made the decision to continue, and they arrested the pastor. Now, let's just say for a minute that you disagree with that guy for whatever reason. It's Pastor Coates, by the way. We should be praying for him and his family, no matter what you think about the subject. Let's say you disagree with him. Does that mean you should stop listening to his preaching? No. It means you disagree with him about the COVID business and constitutional rights of Canadians. That's not worth the vision. We disagree on that stuff. Somebody disagrees with you about your mask position. That ain't a deal breaker. There are, however, issues that should break the deal. Theological issues. The essentials. Christ alone. Faith alone. Revealed in Scripture alone. To the glory of God alone. Faith alone. The Trinity. Correct Christology. An understanding of penal substitutionary atonement that is accurate and robust. Those are the things. You start hearing waffling on those, and you should be going, okay. I'm not going to blog about the guy as a heretic or as a scoundrel in massage parlors, but I'm just not going to follow that person. Guard your heart and guard the truth. And so my encouragement, and this isn't just for everybody out there, but it is especially for those of us in here, in this studio right here, that if a ministry is not publicly defending the faith and a willingness to say, rightly, you don't have to be like, Mormons are heretics, Catholics don't know nothing. Okay, that's not what we're talking about, but when asked about Mormons and Roman Catholics, it should not be a difficulty for a ministry to say they're outside of orthodoxy. We need to evangelize those folks because Jesus Christ is fully God, fully man, and he fully died for the sins of his people. And if somebody can't say that, or it's a joke, or, oh, isn't this a tricky one, as we heard Ravi do, you need to just put down the computer and walk away. Wisely, carefully, thoughtfully, prayerfully. Let's raise our standards. To your responses that were left at the Facebook machine, Greg writes, I can't believe this was completely hidden for so long. Surely there were those who knew something wasn't right. We're going to find out, Greg. He goes on, we must realize all these men are just men. They're not God. We must not look up to them in an idolatrous way. Emphasis on idolatrous way. Agree with you totally, Greg. We can honor those to whom honor is due. We can be grateful for godly teachers who have a higher profile and a bigger platform. But they're not idols. And we shouldn't be worshiping them as such. We should be worshiping Jesus more because he provided a guy who makes him known. That's the correct affection. Be careful. Guard your heart. Doesn't mean you become cold. Oh, well, I guess I better not like John MacArthur anymore. No, you can like John MacArthur. You can love John MacArthur. You can't worship John MacArthur, and he'd be the first one to tell you not to do that. Tom writes this, I never doubted his intellectual understanding of God, speaking of Ravi, and enjoyed him sharing that, but never understood his relationship and the essential necessity of it for him and all mankind. Again, going back to his gospel testimony, he didn't have one. A minister of the gospel, especially an evangelist slash apologist? I got to say, Ravi was an apologist, whether you liked his style or not. He was an apologist. I don't believe he was an evangelist because he wasn't preaching the gospel. And we never heard it. And about how personal it was for him that he loved Jesus, that he loved the Lord, that Jesus is precious to him, that he's his life, his everything. Never got that. Now, does somebody need to cry every time they talk about Jesus? No. But should they be able to say, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And my life is not worth living without Jesus Christ. In whatever emotional state that comes out, you should hear that. I think you were rightly pointing out, Tom. We didn't from Ravi. That should have told us something. Dan, I disagree with your premise, Todd. Just because you're more orthodox and forthright in teaching is not a smoke signal. You are free from being ensnared in a sin. I do not disagree with you, sir. You're right. But that doesn't negate those things must be there. You're right. It's not perfect. Somebody can be square on everything. They are right lockstep with your theological positions. Orthodox, secondary, tertiary. You're right. Doesn't mean that they can't be sinning in a scandalous way. You're right. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't expect that from people who are out front. To us who are pastors, though, Ravi's sin speaks to us with warning. It would have been wise to have his wife and family traveling with him. Yep, I agree with you totally. Mindy, feel such sorrow for the victims. Let's not forget them. Here's what makes it doubly grievous. Not only were these women abused by him, and that's bad enough, frequently, according to the report, it was done with spiritual abuse. Ooh. Or promises of financial support. Ooh. Knowing full well that he was a religious man, he did this to him and used his authority in that role. And as the owner of their massage parlor where they were making a living, in other words, these women, many of them, I suspect, were likely very vulnerable. Not just, I'm not talking about emotionally. I'm not even talking about spiritually. I'm talking about financially. And he used that to abuse them. Ooh. James, Ravi was an imperfect human who helped me grow in my faith. That's good. I'm glad that happened for you, sir. Am I disappointed? Yes. But none of Arzi's failures or sins changed what he shared. You're correct. All truth is God's truth, and Ravi was just a medium for any truth. And we rejoice that anybody grew, because it's never because of Ravi, it's never because of John, it's never because of RC. Let's remember that it is always, always, always because of the Holy Spirit of Christ dwelling in you. And so should any man fall in the future, we still have a rock solid assurance that our God lives despite the behavior of some of his mouthpieces. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.